Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 24,
I'm not ready for
25. 1 through 36. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, we bow before you now with grateful hearts as we recognize that you are here waiting to speak to us, freely offering us your fellowship in spite of all our sinfulness. Let us enter into your presence humbly and reverently. Help us to leave behind all our worries, our worldly desires, and distracting thoughts, and help us to surrender our hearts and minds to hear the message you have for us today as we read from your word and listen to your servant Ron as he shares with us the insights you have given him. Give Ron a calm and confident spirit, Lord, and speak to us through him that we may come closer to knowing your desires for our frail, imperfect lives. In the spirit of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 24, 1 through 36. 35. All right. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, 'There he is out in the desert,' do not go out, or 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
This chapter 24 and its parallels. See, I didn't shock it this time. Use my Bible. This chapter 24 in Matthew and its parallels in Mark and in Luke have created some of the most confusion in God's church of any chapters in the Bible. I assume anybody here bold enough to raise their hand and say that they understand what's going on in this chapter? Come on, Marilyn, you've teach this stuff. All right. She didn't raise her hand. Both of them. I'm going to try and help you through this chapter today. And hopefully you will see that it is really not that difficult if we do one simple thing. The simple thing, yes, you're right. What was that again?
Context.
Okay. The context, we have to go back there. And we have to do it in a couple of different ways. First, we have to try and understand this as his disciples heard it. That is so significant. We have to understand this as his disciples who were sitting there with him heard it. Now, it may mean more for us today, but the first clue to this is to understand and listen as his disciples listened. And to do that, we have to know they are asking three questions. As Jackie read that, when she finally got to the right chapter. Yeah. When she read that at the very beginning, there are three questions that they ask. What are the three questions? We're going to keep going back to them over and over again. Number one, when will these things happen? That's the first thing they ask, right? What things? What are they asking? What things are they referring to? The temple being destroyed. They're leaving the temple. Jesus has just been teaching in the temple courts, and as Crystal taught us last week, he has been pronouncing woes on the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law, right? Yeah, I mean, that was fun, wasn't it, last week to listen to that? But he's been teaching there, and as they leave, his disciples are marveling at the temple. At the time, you know, right at the first century, the temple was one of the most beautiful buildings in the entire ancient world. And even though he has just pronounced these woes, the disciples, as they're leaving, they're stunned by the beauty of this place. And they say, "Teacher, look at this." And he says, "I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left standing on top of it. It's going to be destroyed." And so when they get alone with him, when they're up on the Mount of Olives, their first question is, "When will the temple be destroyed?" And then the second question they ask is, what will be the time of your coming? What does that mean? Let's first ask it and understand what they are asking him. What will be the sign of your coming? Now, we all are very egotistical, right? When we say coming, that means Jesus is coming to us. Correct? Well, Jesus refers us in here. He talks about Daniel. He talks about the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 7, he mentions it, and he uses the term Son of Man, which we remember from Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. And I've preached on this many, many times to you, and I hope you all will remember this. Daniel has this dream of the four beasts coming up out of the seas, right? Out of the sea. And one beast is worse than the next, than the preceding one. It's kind of like that children's book that we've used before, one monster after another, right? Each one's worse. And finally, after the four beasts, and the angel explains to him, these are each kingdoms or kings, one worse than the other, and, you know, starts off with Babylon and the Persians and then the Greeks and then finally Rome. But then one like a son of man appears. And he is taken into the heavenly courts. He comes on the clouds, and he is coming into heaven, into God's throne room. And we, in our egotistical way of thinking, when we read he is coming with the clouds, we view him as coming down from, he's in heaven now, right? We view him as coming down. They did not. They're thinking of Daniel chapter 7, and this is the enthronement, or this is the vindication of Jesus as the true Son of Man, as the true Messiah. So their question that we read him coming down from heaven, which it is not, they're asking him, when will you be vindicated as the true Messiah, the true King, the true King of Israel? When will we see that you're, remember, At this chapter, chapter 24, Jesus has already gone through the triumphal entry. He's come into Jerusalem, and he's coming, and they pronounce, you know, all the crowds are waving their palm branches. Now, we're a little out of order here. I know that's confusing and it's difficult. We're going to celebrate that next week, right? And I hope we have plenty of kids to wave our palm branches, right? We're going to do that next week. We're a little out of order, okay? But in chapter 24, that's already happened. He's had the triumphal entry. They have proclaimed him as the Messiah, and the leaders are saying, quiet down. Right? Remember that? We'll study it again next week. And he goes to the temple where he should be received as the true Messiah, the true King of the Jews, and they don't, and he pronounces judgment. And he enacts a prophetic action, and he, you know, cleanses the temple. So he once again says, just like I cleansed it, you know, before, this temple is fallen down, is going to be destroyed. And they're saying, well, okay, when will the whole world recognize what we already know? You are the true Messiah, the true King of Kings. That's their second question. The third question is another one that causes us a lot of problems. The third question says, third question says, and what will be the end of this age? When will be the end of this age? What they're asking is, when will this present age end? This present age. That's what they're asking him. And we have to think like good first century Jewish disciples in order to understand that. And that's where we fall down. When we think of the end of the age, what are we thinking of? The second coming, right? The second coming, somewhere way out in our future. But we know that that cannot be right. Why can I say that? Take a look at your Bible. Verse 34 that Jackie read. Truly, I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Either Jesus was not telling them the truth, which is not the case, right? Everybody can agree with me on that. Or he was wrong. if we're thinking second coming, which again is not the case. Jesus knew what he was talking about, and all these things took place in front, within one generation. Okay? So we have to figure, we have to think like a good first century Jewish disciple of Jesus. And when they're talking about the end of this present age, they're not talking about a second coming. They don't know yet. They don't understand. He hasn't told them and taught them about his second coming. They're having enough trouble understanding that he's going to die this week. He's going to be crucified this week. And then he's going to be raised to life. They can't get that through their heads. And I can't blame them for that. Okay? Still a miraculous thing that we even can talk about it, and we really can't get our heads around that, can we? Okay? And it has happened, but it hadn't happened for them, and it was just beyond their thinking. They don't have any concept of a second coming. He's never told them that. So we know that that's not what they're asking. They're asking, when will this present evil age come to an end? Now, what's the present evil age? Part of them are thinking, while these Romans are overruling us. The present evil age will come when you as the Messiah are recognized as the rightful king and you get on your white horse and we run the Romans out. And that present evil age will come to an end. That's part of what they're asking. But they're also beginning to realize that the present evil age comes about not just from the Romans, but as Crystal taught us last week, these woes against the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And as we learned the week before, as Jesus is speaking against the Sanhedrin and the chief priests, they're part of the present evil age. And their symbol of authority is the temple. And Jesus says, it's going to come down. I, as the Messiah, am the true way of redemption and God's forgiveness and a relationship with him. And this whole evil system of the temple and the Sanhedrin and the chief priests and the Pharisees and the chief, that all will come crashing down too. So, his disciples correctly are adding up two and two, or three, I guess. When the temple is destroyed, that will be the sign that you're going to be vindicated. We'll see it at the same time, and you're going to do away with all, both the Romans and this evilness that surrounds the temple. So they're asking, when is all this going to take place? And that's the answer. Now we have to get into Jesus' answer. But we've got to understand the three questions. And we have to understand it from their point of view. Now, Jesus starts going through and answering these and talks in terms that we really have difficulty in understanding. And that's what leads to some of our confusion, because it sounds like into the world stuff, doesn't it? But you know, if we go back to our Old Testaments and we read Isaiah, and we read Jeremiah, and we read Amos, and we read Hosea, and we read Ezekiel, they're using the same kind of language. This is the sun will be darkened, the earth, the moon will turn red, and all the things that he's talking about. This is coming exactly out. This is the way the prophets speak. And even those at the time when Jesus was out teaching, at the time when even those who were denying that he was Messiah considered him to be a great prophet in the prophetic tradition. And he spoke in as a prophet spoke. Now, we sometimes get confused when we talk about him as a prophet. We're thinking of him predicting the future. But a prophet spoke to God's people, right? And sometimes there's future aspects of it, But the prophet brings God's word to God's people. And they use this language. He's saying, by talking about the sun turning black, the moon turning to blood, and the stars, all these things, he said, these are going to be earth-shattering events. Now, any of you ever experienced an earth-shattering event? Some of us are old enough to remember exactly what we were doing when we heard that President Kennedy was assassinated, right? Was that an earth-shattering event? You bet. 9/11, earth-shattering, right? We have earth-shattering events ourselves. And the language that is being used here, earthquakes and all this, he is saying it will be earth-shattering event. Let him use the language of the prophets to speak to his disciples because they understand it. And our problem is, we need to understand it by listening first as a good first century Jewish disciple. So, what's he saying? These will be the signs of the birth pains. There will be, in fact, things that happen. And the key issue here is contained in the key thing for us is verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Now, I promise you, without any doubt whatsoever, Jesus did not say, let the reader understand. Right? He's speaking to his disciples, and Matthew, who's inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's writing this down, is putting a big warning out there. Okay, Jesus said this. Now you guys pay attention. You need to understand what he's talking about. Matthew interjects himself in the middle of this speech. So we better pay attention and we better understand. And he says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one come off their rooftop and don't stop to pick up your stuff. Flee, is what Jesus is saying. Now, Mark, in his passage, he says basically the same thing that Matthew does. But in this exact same place, we have to remember Mark and Matthew are both writing primarily to a Jewish audience. And they both of them say, let the reader understand. Go back and think about what happened in Daniel. Luke is writing primarily to a Gentile audience. And in this exact place, he changes what Jesus said. Now, did you hear what I said? He changes what Jesus said. He translates it so a Gentile audience can understand. And he, too, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to change it so his audience would understand. Okay? And in this place, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Now, that's exactly what Mark and Matthew mean when you understand Daniel. If you are a good Jewish person in the first century, you understand that the abomination that causes desolation, you're talking about the time of the Maccabees, 167 BC, might have been 166, when in fact Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and was conquered, and the conquering king came in and he made a sacrifice in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. He on the altar, God's altar, he sacrificed a pig. Because in the ancient world, when you conquered a new place, you would go in and you'd offer your sacrifice to whoever the local god is. Right? This was the abomination that actually happened. Daniel predicted it. Well, Daniel didn't. The Holy Spirit, acting through Daniel, predicted it. And it happened. And they knew it. Now, Gentile audiences, like most of us, didn't understand that. So Luke had to translate it so that we would understand. So Jesus is saying, You are part of the elect. You are part of the people who belong to me. You know these things. A lot of the others don't. When you see armies coming to surround Jerusalem, even though you're good Jewish disciples, you're good Jewish people, don't stay there and fight. Flee. Their first reaction is going to fight against the Romans when they come and surround. And Jesus is saying, don't even stop to pick up your cloak. Don't go back for anything. When this happens, get out of there. The exact opposite of what their inclination would be. Now, did this happen? Did these things happen within one generation? Yes. Almost happened about 10 years after his crucifixion. There was a Roman emperor who planned to build a giant statue in the temple of himself in the temple in Jerusalem. And it was causing all kinds of problems because he was going to demand their worship. But fortunately, he died before he was able to accomplish it. So it didn't happen. But then there was a rebellion when some would-be messiahs, and Jesus talks about false messiahs, doesn't he? There were some would-be messiahs who were trying to lead an armed rebellion against Rome. And so Rome came with their legions in 70 A.D., and they surrounded Jerusalem and totally destroyed it. And they tore the temple down. Not one stone on top of another. 70 A.D., one generation after Jesus said these words. These things came to pass. Now, there's also some things in here that Jesus, his warnings can also apply later on. He's basically saying, be ready. You won't know when it's going to happen. Be ready for these events. Can that apply to us? Yeah. We don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow morning, right? We sort of think so. But shouldn't we have a short list with God and have our bags packed if he wants to call us home? Amen. We don't know. We know about the second coming. They were not asking about that. We know it. We know he could come at any time. When the Son of Man, Jesus, is vindicated in his full glory with the second coming, everybody will know. Paul writes, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess what? That Jesus is Lord. Okay? So yes, some of these things go beyond what he was teaching his disciples. And yes, we can see them applying somewhat to us. And the message to us is, Jesus, we know, he has been enthroned in heaven. The ascension, after the resurrection, he came back, taught his disciples. His ascension, as they watched him going on the clouds of heaven, right? Remember that from Acts chapter 1? Which direction was he going? Up. Just like Daniel said he would. Okay? He's going up as he is coming into his glory. Well, just as he went up that way, the angels in Acts chapter 1 said, what are you doing there standing there looking up? He gave you a job to do. Go out and spread his message. Why are you looking that way? He's going to come down just the same way he went up. So we can see that happen. And some of his words in here say, be ready. This is important. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? How are we supposed to behave? What are we supposed to be doing? We need, as I said, we need to have our bags packed. We need to be ready to tell people at a moment's notice that Jesus is Lord and living in his kingdom under his rule, living in obedience to him helps our lives here on Haines just as it is in heaven. We need to be ready. You know, you've heard me say that so many times as we say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Haines as it is in heaven, right? It's going to be so hard to say that in Lander as it is in heaven. It just doesn't seem to ring the same way. Okay? But maybe I'll get used to it. We need to live that way. We need to live under His will in His kingdom here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And we need to share that with other people to spread the good news. Jesus really has the solutions, not only for my life, but for yours as well. He never promises to take away the evil and the suffering. Bad things still happen. But He promises to be with us in the midst of it, so that we can face the suffering, the evil, the death of loved ones that comes. He is with us. And we need to let others know, yes, His way is the best way. And if He chooses, I'm not asking for this, but if He chooses to take me tonight, I hope I will be ready to go. I want to go down and see my grandson and my grandbabies a little bit more, so I hope it doesn't happen tonight. But I hope I am ready, and I hope you can feel the same way. All this chapter is talking about how to His disciples He was encouraging them to be ready. They're going to be hauled in before synagogues and beaten and martyred, and it's going to happen. They're going to see it come to pass, and things are going to be tough. And that warnings that He gives them apply to us as well. Yes, things may be difficult, but He is with us, and He is in control of not just our destiny, but the destiny of this whole world. And we can rely on that. And He can provide the answers to all of our questions when we just trust in Him. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, just as You answered these three questions for Your disciples, we sometimes have our own questions. And we pray that we can trust in You and in Your perfect solution and answer to everything that we question. Help us to be better disciples. Help us to respond to those around us and show them and tell them that Yours is the better way, and help us to live it. In Christ we pray. Amen.